Well, I want to invite Steve Gish to come. What we did a couple of months ago was just start to share our testimonies as elders, and Steve is next. I want you to get to know him. Some of you are new in the last couple of years, and maybe you have never heard how God has saved our elders and what he's done in their lives, so I'll hand it over to Steve to do just that.
Good evening. Lately, we've heard numerous testimonies, right? And they're everything from, you know, I grew up in a Christian household, you know, and with a godly family, and I was aware of Christ my entire life, but then Christ got a hold of me, right, and changed me, made me aware of my sin. We've also heard various times some very, very dramatic salvation stories where people are rescued out of phenomenally dangerous criminal activities. Mine's neither of those. It's actually sort of in the middle a little bit, but all of those contain the same amazing truth, right, that the creator, sustainer of the entire universe at one point in time grabbed us and drew him to himself. And that is the most miraculous part of any testimony you'll ever hear. I was actually adopted at birth, born in Sacramento. My adoptive father was in the Air Force, living down in Southern California at the time, around Ventura, Oxnard area. And so while I was born here, I was immediately, you know, taken back down to Southern California, where my dad, being in the Air Force, pretty much every 2 years we moved somewhere else. And when I was 9 years old, this was around 1969. It was exactly 1969. And my father, this was during the Vietnam War, my father was called, deployed overseas, actually in Thailand, in support of the war effort over there. So my mother and my brother, who was also adopted, were living in Orangeville at the time. And it was just the three of us on Pecan Avenue down in Orangeville. And one of the neighbors had befriended me, and we got along swimmingly, and we had a great time together, and he had a mini bike. He was probably the one that was responsible for getting me into this whole two-wheeled motorsport thing. But one day he asked me, he said, "Hey, our church is having a vacation Bible school. Would you like to come?" Yeah, I said, "Sure. Maybe we'll get to ride mini bikes afterwards, too, and, you know, all good." But it was God used that activity, right? So for those of you that participate and support the Cason Bible School here, just know that God can and does use that in a mighty, mighty way. So we had spent the week, this was a week-long vacation Bible school, and there were, you know, the normal fun stuff to do, but there was a message every day. And there was an altar call, actually, at the very beginning on the first day, and then there was also one on the last day. And so throughout the week, you know, I learned more of Christ. So growing up, you know, we never went to church. We weren't even, you know, Christmas Sunday kind of church attenders. I knew about God. I believed in God. Now, keeping a nine-year-old boy, and that didn't stop me, though, from using his name in vain, right? I can recall times when I was young, just having this literally screaming, yelling fits, right, that were laced with profanities. And it was an anger at my parents. Now, looking back on it, I can't think of exactly why, you know, I was angry at them. I thought they were good parents. I thought they were loving parents. I actually always knew that I was adopted, so it's not like I found out one day and that wrecked my world. But there was just something about me that was extremely, extremely angry. Well, flash forward to Vacation Bible School 1969 at what was then Hazel Avenue Baptist Church, which is now Grace Bible, down on Hazel Avenue. And the last day of Vacation Bible School, there was an altar call. And I had been, my heart had been being convicted all week long, now that I knew a little bit about who this Jesus was and what he had done. Things were a little bit less PC sermon-wise. I mean, you wouldn't think in a Vacation Bible School you'd have sort of a kind of a hellfire and brimstone type of message, but they were, right? So Yes, I was fearful of my eternal state, right, at that point in time, and I knew, I was convinced beyond a doubt, didn't take much convincing, that I was indeed a sinner, and there was one remedy for that, and that was Jesus Christ. And so I became a believer at that time. Turns out, I didn't know it at the time, but my mom was also kind of there in the background. I don't remember her that week at all, honestly, but she has told me that she actually was saved. She became a believer that same week. And so we began going to Hazel Avenue Baptist, and we were very involved. We were in Sunday school and church. We were at a thing. There used to be a youth group called Word of Life and Boys Brigade, and I participated in that, became very involved there, actually went to the school that they had there on campus there for a time. Then my dad came back from overseas, and we moved to Colorado Springs, and we were there for 2.5 years, where he retired from the Air Force. And then we spent some time kind of driving around the country looking for a job for him after he'd retired. He was a navigator in the Air Force, and couldn't find anything. And finally said, well, where do you guys want to go? And we lived in quite a few different places. We said, oh, let's go back to California. So wound up back in California in the 1972-73 time frame, and have been here ever since, and was able at that point to actually start attending Hazel Avenue Baptist Church again, because in that at the time I really hadn't been. I had probably been to a couple churches in Colorado Springs with my mom, but we weren't participating or walking, right? But my life was kind of reunited with the people of the church that the Lord had used to draw me to himself, and been pretty much in El Dorado County ever since. When we did decide to move back to California, we actually settled in El Dorado Hills, and just a block or so up the house that they bought and were living in there, there was a family that we knew from years before that were still going to Hazel Avenue Baptist Church. And so they befriended us, and we were, again, kind of reunited with that particular body of believers. And I had mentioned those kind of screaming fits, right? So some people always have questions, well, you know, when you walk forward, you know, now you think you're saved. And I have no pretense that any of the act of walking forward in any sort of a ceremony had anything to do with my salvation. But one of the things that's always asked is, after you have made this confession, was there any change, right? And there was. And it really had to do with some of those, honestly, those amazing fits of anger that I can't tell you exactly why I had them in the first place. My parents were very, very strict. So I was actually considered a good boy, right, because I was afraid to not be a good boy. I don't know. I can't tell you if that was any of the reasoning behind these fits that I had. But I'm talking about a 9-year-old boy with screaming, profanity-laced tantrums that entertained the thought of suicide. And then thinking I could do that and leave a note and blame my parents for it. I mean, that was the state of my depravity as a 9-year-old, right? And after that fateful last day of Vacation Bible School, those went away. They just stopped. And I can only thank God for that. Do I still get angry? Sure. Nothing like those times, though. So was there a change? Yes. Was there a desire to be around God's people? Yes. And throughout our life, we managed to find those bodies. And Heidi and I found this body of believers not long after our first son was born. And our second son, but anyways, I'm thankful to be here, thankful to be able to serve you as one of the elders here, and thank you for all that you do.
Thanks, brother.